This is Teresa Trent, and you are listening to Books to the Ceiling, a podcast that features narrated excerpts from new mysteries coming on to the market. We are time traveling to the morning after a lavish party in 1926 this week, featuring our favorite jazz singing sleuth, Lizzie Crane. What a party it turns out to be, with champagne freely flowing and an appearance by Lady Godiva, yes to the horse, no to the clothes. This is all in good fun until it leads to murder in Running in the Shadows by Skye Alexander. Here's a little more about the book. March 1926, Salem, Massachusetts. A spring equinox party at the mansion of a rich, flamboyant, and controversial art collector promises New York jazz singer Lizzie Crane and her band a fat paycheck, lucrative connections, and plenty of fun. She'll also have an opportunity to reconnect with a handsome Boston Brahmin she fancies, but the excitement she hopes for doesn't turn out the way she expected. On the night of the musician's first performance, a naked young woman trots into the ballroom on horseback, sweeps up a talented artist named Sebastian, and rides off with him into the night. The next morning, Lizzie discovers the artist's body tied to a tree shot full of arrows like the martyred Saint Sebastian in Botticelli's painting. Soon, Lizzie learns that her business partner, pianist Sidney Somerset, once had a close relationship with the dead man, and police suspect Sidney may have murdered him. As she tries to protect her friend and discover the killer, Lizzie gets swept up in the treacherous underworld of art theft and forgery, a world where fantastic sums of money change hands, and where lives are cheap. Now here is an excerpt from Running in the Shadows. March 1926, Salem, Massachusetts. The clock on her nightstand said 7:45.
Too early.
Lizzie groaned and pulled the eiderdown comforter over her head. But after 15 minutes of trying without success to go back to sleep, she gave up. Tossing the covers off, she swung her legs over the side of the bed and shuffled into the ensuite bathroom. After washing her face and running a comb through her fashionably bobbed chocolate-colored hair, she pulled on a blue crepe dress with a low waist and a pleated skirt. She rubbed a bit of rouge on her cheeks and painted a red Cupid's bow on her lips. Then she made her way along the second floor hallway of Isaac Roman's mansion to the staircase that swept down to the foyer. Her host's housemaids scurried here and there, tidying up after last night's party that lasted until nearly 3 a.m. A night full of music, dancing, and a seemingly endless river of champagne that defied that tiresome law known as Prohibition. The memory of the naked young woman who trotted her horse into Roman's ballroom swept up a talented artist named Sebastian Amory and rode off with him still blazed in Lizzie's mind. She didn't know whether to applaud the equestrian for her audacious Lady Godiva act or be mad at her for interrupting Lizzie and her band's performance and stealing their thunder. None of her fellow musicians or any of the other house guests appeared to be roaming about at this early hour. Following the seductive scents of coffee, bacon, and cinnamon buns, she found her way to the kitchen at the rear of the 18th-century mansion. There she asked a kitchen maid for a cup of coffee. The girl filled a delicate porcelain cup that might have come to Salem on a clipper ship from the Orient 70 years ago and handed it to her. Trying not to spill the coffee on the waxed wooden floors, Lizzie meandered through the first level of her host's house. Despite the busy ministrations of the household staff, the three-story brick mansion on Salem Column seemed relaxed and peaceful after last night's raucous gala. Avoiding the garish ballroom, she turned down a hallway that led behind the kitchen and into a glass-walled solarium illuminated by gray morning light. Flowering trees filled the space with evocative scents, Birds flitted about, trilling their songs. White wicker furniture invited her to stop, sit a while, and let herself be transported into a lush tropical world, even though wet snow splattered the solarium's panes of glass. Brick pathways wound through the copious vegetation. Lizzie followed one of them past a pair of squawking parrots and a koi pond. At first, she didn't register what she saw. It was too bizarre and too horrible. A pale young man, naked to the waist, was tied to a tree. A slew of arrows pierced his torso. Dried rivulets of blood streaked his bare chest and stomach. A wad of purple cloth hung from his mouth. Lizzie clamped her hand over her own mouth to keep from screaming. It took her a moment to recognize Sebastian, whose lifeless eyes stared back at her. Who had those eyes seen in his last moments on Earth, she wondered. Gathering her wits about her, she choked back her initial reaction to Wretch and stepped closer. Gingerly, she touched his arm and found it cold. The dead artist reminded her of Botticelli's 15th century painting of the martyred saint by the same name. She hurried back into the kitchen and hailed one of the maids. "Please, summon the housekeeper. It's an emergency." A few minutes later, a stout woman wearing a simple black dress with a starched white collar strode into the kitchen, trailed by the curious young housemaid. She shooed the girl back to her tasks and asked Lizzie,
"I am Mrs. Nutley. What's this about an emergency?"
"One of Mr. Roman's friends is dead. He's in the solarium, tied to a tree. Would you please telephone the police and let Mr. Roman know?"
"May I ask who you are, miss?"
"Elizabeth Crane. I'm the vocalist with the Troubadours. We're entertainers from New York City. Mr. Roman hired us to perform for his guests this weekend. Surely he told you." Mrs. Nutley nodded.
"Before I bother the police, let's have a look at this man who has ostensibly died in our greenhouse."
The skeptical expression on her long, plain face suggested she'd witnessed more than a few pranks during her employment at the home of the flamboyant and controversial art collector Isaac Roman. "Oh, he's dead all right," Lizzie said. She'd seen lifeless bodies before, but none as grotesque as this one. "Come, see for yourself." The housekeeper followed Lizzie down the hallway behind the kitchen and into the glass-walled garden. A parrot shrieked as they followed the winding pathway through the foliage. Mrs. Nutley shrieked even louder when she spotted Sebastian Amory's lifeless form perforated by more than a dozen arrows. "Now, please, go and telephone the police," Lizzie said. And that was an excerpt from Running in the Shadows. Running in the Shadows is available at Amazon and Barnes & Noble, and you will find links to those online retailers in the notes for this podcast. Now here's a little more about our author. Skye Alexander is the author of nearly 50 fiction and nonfiction books. Her stories have appeared in anthologies internationally, and her work has been translated into 15 languages. In 2003, she co-founded Level Best Books with fellow crime writers Kate Flora and Susan Alescu. So far, her Lizzie Crane mystery series includes 4 traditional historical novels set in the Jazz Age: Never Try to Catch a Falling Knife, What the Walls Know, The Goddess of Shipwrecked Sailors, and Running in the Shadows. And we already have recordings of What the Walls Know and The Goddess of Shipwrecked Sailors on Books to the Ceiling, so I will leave links to those other 2 podcasts of Skye Alexander's books at the bottom of this podcast. After living in Massachusetts for 31 years, Skye now makes her home in Texas. If you want to learn more about Skye, you can visit her website at skyealexander.com. That's all we have this week on Books to the Ceiling. If you enjoyed this podcast, please take a moment to rate, review, or follow us, and be sure to tell other mystery readers about our podcast. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to learn more about Running in the Shadows, and I hope to see you again next week with a new mystery on Books to the Ceiling.